What's up, guys? How you guys doing? Hey, I want to, where's my team at? Alright, guys. Let's get to the huddle here. Alright, guys. Alright, guys. You know the plan, right? Guys, you know the play. Alright, it's gonna be red, 42, blue, on two, okay? You guys got it? Alright, break. Hey, what's going on, guys? You guys can't be going on the sidelines. This is game day, guys. What's going on? Let's try this again. All right, you guys know the plan, right? You guys know the plan. Red, 42, blue, on two. You give it this time?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Break. Red, 42, blue, Ah, come on, guys. Hey, this is game day, guys. We can't be on the sidelines. We just called the play. Come on. Come on, you guys. Let's try it one more time. All right. All right, let's try this again, all right? We can do it, man. We can do it, all right? You guys know the plan. You guys know the plan. Red, 42, blue, on two. You guys got it this time? Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Break. Red, 42, blue. All right, guys. Hey, I tell you what, we'll try this a little bit later. You guys go ahead and sit down. Somebody want to get those lights? Are the lights on? How you guys doing? Cool. Some of you guys might not remember me or know me. I used to be a leader here a while back, and so it's great to be back again teaching you guys and sharing with what the Lord has shared with me to share with you guys. So it's pretty awesome to be here. If you guys noticed, the title is Game Day, and ladies, I know that some of you guys might not be into football as much as some guys are, and believe it or not, I'm not that much into football either, but it is the Super Bowl season. It's coming up. If you guys want to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And I have some scriptures that I want you guys to read. Frank is going to be passing out some scriptures. If you guys want to read, just raise up your hand. I need 15 people to read. You guys don't be shy. Come on, man. I need some volunteers here. It's just a short verse or two. You guys be bold. Bold for the Lord and read. Okay, and you guys just, if you get a scripture, just to kind of pre-mark it in your Bible, because I will call on you. I want to catch you unprepared. And so Amanda, you guys know Amanda here, she's going to be holding a microphone. And so during the study here, I'll just say, hey, okay, who has, you know, 2 Corinthians, whatever. And you guys just kind of raise up your hand and she'll go over there and take the microphone over there to you guys, okay? And so we'll just open up with the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for an awesome day, Lord. I know that the weather is a little brisk. Thank you for that, Lord, that it's not just freezing cold. Just ask you to bless these students, Lord, as they dive into your word and that they glean what you have to say to them, Lord. We know that ultimately we ask your spirit to teach us today. Your Holy Spirit is our teacher. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to be here with us. We invite you here. And just ask that you would speak to our hearts today. We know that we're in life that people just go through stuff. We have problems just like everybody else, at school, at home. And Lord, so we need to hear from you today. So we ask this in your son's name, in Jesus' name, amen. So, you guys noticed the title of the message, Game Day. And ultimately, it's talking about the Christian life. So I'm going to be talking about the Christian player. And you guys seen the illustration here. We had a couple of guys that we were ready to play the game, we huddled up, we knew the plan, and they just went to the sidelines. And so I'll basically tie it all together at the end here. So you guys be thinking about that. And ultimately, the point here is this, is that as Christians, we are all part of a team. And it's called the body of Christ. And so we have to be team players and understand that there are many positions in the body. And just make it a point to know your position and to play it well. And realize how important your position is. You know, can the foot say to the hand that I'm not part of the body because I'm not a foot? Or can the ear say to the eye because I'm not an eye that I'm not part of the body? You know, or the mouth because I'm not a little toe, that I'm not part of the body. So, but God has set each members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So God has placed you exactly where he wants you to be in the body. And so, you know, don't try to be a foot if you're a hand. You know, just as there are many members, all members do not have the same function. And those which we think are less honorable are in fact the ones that we give greater honor to. You know, if that little toe that you guys have, the little tiny toe, if it gets a piece of glass in it, the whole body suffers. And if you've ever had a splinter in your toe, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or maybe even your little pinky or your hand. You know that the whole body suffers. You can't rest and nothing until that little splinter comes out. So if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you have been given gifts. You have been given a gift by God. And so what are you gifted in? Know what it is and use it. And if you're not sure if the Spirit lives in you or not, or maybe you want the Spirit of God to live in you, and after this message, you can talk to me or talk to one of the leaders. But remember, whatever gift you have been given, without love, it's as a clanging cymbal. It doesn't mean anything to anybody if you don't have love. You're just walking around making a lot of noise that really nobody wants to hear. And so know your gifts, use them, so know your position and play it well. And so this morning we're going to look at the greatest Christian player of the Christian faith. His name was Paul the Apostle. I would consider him the greatest player. And have you ever just wanted to pick somebody's mind? I mean, we're looking at all these guys on here. How many of you guys play sports or some type of sport? So you guys know exactly what it's like to be a part of a team. Maybe you're not into like any type of these sports. Maybe you're into Rubik's Cube. I've seen a Rubik's Cube earlier. I've seen some pretty amazing Rubik's Cube guys. These guys are amazing. So whatever it is, whoever it is, whether it be a football player, whatever, soccer, you know that there are some great people. And you just, if you ever just wanted to pick their mind and see what makes them tick, and see what made him great. Like maybe Michael Jordan, for instance. We all know the name Michael Jordan. Great basketball player. Wouldn't you guys want to just pick his mind and see what makes him tick? And what makes him do the things that he does? And so Paul the Apostle gives us three very important characteristics that will help us live out our Christian lives with full effectiveness and accomplishing the purpose for which God has put us here, to finish the race and to finish it well. Not just finish it, but finish it well. And so the three characteristics that Paul is going to be showing us in this passage of Scripture are perseverance, power, and perspective, and how to live our Christian life. And so in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, if you guys have turned there, I'm going to read it. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the first characteristics we look at is perseverance. And if you guys grabbed a bulletin, you'll see the P, There's three P's on there. The first one is perseverance. And so what does Paul say? He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore what, guys? Well, if you look up in verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, what is this treasure that he's talking about? Well, ultimately, we know that the treasure that he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been deposited within human vessels. But a little bit later on in the letter that Paul writes, he says that, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So this treasure that we have within us, the Holy Spirit living inside all of us, which we will talk about here in just a little bit. But right now, I want to focus on a small phrase there in verse 16. It says, we do not lose heart. The first thing that I notice is that word we. Who is he speaking of? He's speaking of Timothy, Silvanus, maybe even Titus. Ultimately, Paul is speaking to you and to myself right now. But what I noticed about was that he said that he's not alone. He says, we. Then he says, do not lose heart. He says, we're not giving up, guys. We're not throwing in the towel. I'm not done yet. I don't care what's come against me. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to just throw my hands up and forget about it. So that probably doesn't really mean much to you right now. But listen to what Paul's testimony. Listen to what Paul says. Who has 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10? Hold up, she's going to.
For we do not want to be ignorant beneath of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength so that we can despair even of life. Yes, we have sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God, who we raise the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will deliver us.
Okay, who has 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9? Over there, Amanda.
We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed.
Okay, who has 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27?
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 10, says, concerning this thing, speaking of the thorn in the flesh, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So now is it coming? Is it making sense? So you see here that he went through so much stuff. And you guys just read it. That word perils just can be translated danger. He'd been in so much dangerous situations. So many things, he had been beaten, but he still says, you know what? I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in, guys. I'm not throwing in the towel. So all the trials, all the hardships, all the heartbreak, being beat, all the danger that he faced, he still says, we do not lose heart. We're not giving up. And you know what the most amazing thing is that it wasn't even a surprise to him. All that he faced and all that he went through was not even a surprise. He knew that he was facing that. In Acts 20, verses 21 through 24, he says this, testifying to the Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. It wasn't a surprise, guys. He knew exactly what he was facing. And he says, none of these things are going to move me. None of them. And so Jesus says that whoever seeks to find his life will lose it. But whoever seeks to lose his life for my sake will find it. And so Paul also says, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my race with joy. Not just finish it, guys, but finish it with joy. The ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, he says, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And you know what? You might be saying, you know what? I'm not called to the same ministry as Paul did. I might not be called to suffer as much as he did. I might not be called like Paul was called. And I hope that none of you are. We might not be called to suffer as Paul did, but we have all been given a ministry. We have been all been given a ministry to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke testify to that in the Gospels. And so who has Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20?
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Who has Mark 16:15?
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay, who has Luke 24:46-49? Right there.
And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high.
So we have been given a ministry, guys. We've been commanded to go and to preach to every creature, every nation. We're told that we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. And he says right there that we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not you or I, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God himself, that you are able to do that. You might be saying, I can't do it. It's not you that's doing it. It's God in you. Which leads us to our second characteristics, which Paul gives us. See, we looked at all the things that he went through, all his struggles. And so right now, you know, think of all that maybe you're going through in your life. Maybe at school, maybe there's people that aren't being so cool. Maybe at home, things aren't going so well. Or maybe you even know somebody whose parents are not treating your friends right. You know, think of all of what you're going through right now. What's coming against you. And right now, you know, you might be just going through some stuff. Because life happens and stuff happens in life. But Paul said, we do not lose heart. He's not giving up. But what gave him that confidence to do that? What gave him the ability to persevere through all that he went through? That second characteristic, the second P, is power. And now we can actually look at the therefore. He says, therefore, because we do not lose heart. Because of what? Therefore what? So we go up to verse 7 in chapter 4. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. So it's not us, it's God. And that treasure within earthen vessels, I told you that it was speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been deposited within human vessels. But then later on in the letter, he tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to wait for the power. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit, God living in us, that is that treasure. Because we're just nothing more than a dirt clod, guys. But it's God that lives within us that makes us who we are. So that treasure, what is the treasure? The Holy Spirit, God in earthen vessels, in us, in you. And he says, the excellence, and that word in verse 7 of chapter 4, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That word excellence can be translated, the immeasurable power may be of God and not of us. His power is, you can't even measure it. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, because of this treasure, God, whose power is immeasurable, we do not lose heart. That's what gave him the ability, guys. So we see here, there's a true thing here that I got from online, Time Magazine. In 1972, NASA launched an exploratory space probe, Pioneer 10. And the satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter and to photograph the planet and the moons and to beam back data to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field and all the radiation belts and the atmosphere. And scientists regarded that as just a bold plan. And the reason that it was a bold plan, for at that time, no satellite had ever gone beyond Mars. And they feared that maybe the asteroid belts would just smash it and disintegrate it before it even accomplished its purpose. But Pioneer 10 accomplished far more, much, much more. Swinging past the giant planet in 1973 of November, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At 2 billion miles, it hurled past Uranus. Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years later, after the launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. Doesn't sound too impressive? Well, 25 years later, that little satellite is still beaming back radio signals. But the most amazing thing about it is that it was powered by an 8-watt transmitter. An 8-watt transmitter, well, it radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight. And it takes more than 9 hours for that data to reach Earth. So despite the immense distance, it continued to beam back those signals. The little satellite that could, that's what we'll call that satellite, continued. It was designed with a life of just 3 years, but it kept going and going. The Energizer Bunny satellite. It kept going and going. That little tiny 8-watt transmitter accomplished more than anyone ever thought possible. And so it is with us when we offer ourselves to the Lord. God can even work through some of our own 8-watt abilities. But God, however, cannot work through someone who quits. So God, and Paul says, we do not lose heart. Why? Because of the power that is within him, the Holy Spirit, God living in us. So the little satellite that could accomplish far more than it was ever expected to accomplish, they didn't know what was in it. And so it is with us that we don't know the power. You don't know the power that is within you. It's God. Who has 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 7? Okay. Through 7, 1.
And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God.
Okay, who has 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22?
For all the promises of God in him are yes and him amen. To the glory of God through us, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee.
Okay, who has 2 Corinthians 5, 5? 2 Corinthians 5, 5? Right here.
Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Now I'm done. Goodbye.
Okay, who has 2 Corinthians 5? Or actually, I have 5, 6 through 8. So he says, in 2 Corinthians, Paul does, he says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, there it is again, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So Paul knew, and knowing that we have eternal life allows us to live our lives with purpose and with boldness. And just as that little satellite accomplishing its purpose, knowing that God has placed us exactly where he wants us and fulfilling his purpose. And just like that little satellite sending back those data messages, so we are sending back our data to our Father who has sent us out and launched us out to accomplish his mission and his purpose. So can you imagine? Who has 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10?
Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
So we must all appear and give an account. How does that make you live your life right now, knowing that? When you go to school and it's report card day, whether you did good or bad, you know that you're going to have to face the music if it wasn't that well. You know, and so it is with us that we must all appear and give an account to our Father. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. So even though one day we will die, he's saying this body of flesh is just wasting away. I know that my time here is short. I know it's short. We live and we die. There's two dates on your tombstones, guys. The date that you were born and the date that you're going to die. And there's a little dash in between there. And that dash represents your whole life and how you lived it. I was actually went online. I was looking on Wikipedia, trying to find the average life expectancy for people in general, not just male or female. There's different statistics there if you go with male or female, but for human beings in general here in the U.S., because depending on which part of the world you're in, life expectancy is a little bit different. But here in the U.S., it's 77 and a half to 80 years old is the average life expectancy. So I'm already halfway there, guys. I'm 33, or I'll be 33 next month. So I start thinking about, you know, these kinds of things and how I'm living my life right now, you know, because I know that one of these days it's, you know, I'm going to I'm not going to be here. I live, I was born, and I'm going to die one of these days, as it is with us all. Who has Psalm 90, 10 through 12?
The days of life are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I didn't even have to go to Wikipedia to find those statistics. It's Wikipedia says 77 and a half to 80 is the average life expectancy for human beings. I could have just went to the Psalms. Who has Psalm 144, 4?
Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow.
Who has Isaiah 40, 6 through 8?
The voice says, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All the flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the grass, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, the word of our God stands forever.
So even though our outward man is perishing, he says in verse 16 of chapter 4, even though our outward man is perishing, even though we're wasting away, even though one day we're just going to turn into a pile of dirt. That's all we are, guys. Is just, we're dirt clods. It's God that lives inside of us that makes us who we are. It's not about us. It's about him. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, it says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So our inward man is being made different. We're being changed into a new kind of life from the former corrupt state into a new state. And day by day, we're given the strength by his spirit. Who has 2 Corinthians 5:17?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Who has 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18? Does she have 2 Corinthians 3? Anybody? Okay, I'll read it. It says here, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord is by the Spirit of the Lord. So God's power is working in us day by day, and we're being transformed into that same image. And then he goes on to say, in verse 17 of chapter 4, it says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, is working in for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And you know, I would hardly call what Paul went through light or even easy to bear. We read the testimony of the stuff that he'd been through. Been beaten, thrown in prison, many different types of danger. And so I'm going to go into a little bit of Greek here, just a little bit of original translation stuff, and then I'll bring it back and to make sense to you guys. So the phrase, but for a moment, comes from the Greek word paratika, which does not mean a brief duration, but it literally means present with us now or immediate, which is in contrast to the future glory, is working, literally accomplishing or achieving. The phrase more exceeding literally means continually. Eternal, we all know what eternal is, without beginning or end. The phrase weight of glory literally means a quantity too great to be estimated. So all that original language stuff, just to say this. Do you guys want to hear how it translates out? Paul is saying, our suffering is easy to bear. Why? Because the power that is within us, that dynamite power, God within us, says what we're going through right now, all the problems that we have, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, persecuted, struck down. And all this suffering, all that I'm going through right now, at school, at work, whatever it is, at home, all that stuff that's getting me down is continually accomplishing in us a reward so great in quantity that it cannot be estimated, for it is without end, life everlasting. You know, we kind of use that term lightly, everlasting, but when we've been there 10,000 years, we still have another 10,000 times 10,000 and forever more to go. That is what Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. You know, when you see somebody on their, maybe on a hospital bed or facing death in some way, that is when you can see the power of God, because only God has the power to raise us from the dead. Nothing else matters, guys. Not what kind of car you drove, not what kind of iPod you had, not what kind of clothes you wear. Not at that point. Only thing that matters is, did you believe and did you have faith in Jesus, which gives us eternal life? And so Peter, who has 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9?
In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And that genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
The end of your faith, guys. The salvation of your souls. Eternal life in heaven with him. So it's knowing that power that is within us, within you, is God. It's not us. We're just dirt clods. Remember that. But God in us makes us precious in his sight. He seals us up for that day. Who has 1 Corinthians 3:16?
Do you not know that you are afraid the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells on you?
So it was a story that an old missionary told on how a new missionary was assigned this car that wouldn't start unless he gave it a push. And so he pondered it a little bit and try to figure out, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to work out a plan to get this car started? And so after pondering the problem, he came up with this plan. And his plan was that, well, he was going to go to the nearby school near his home. And he had actually gotten some permission to take some of the children out of the class. And those children would help him push his car off to get it started. And so he'd either park on the hill or leave the engine running. And then he used this ingenious procedure to get his car started for 2 years, guys. He did that for 2 years. Can't imagine that. But basically, his health got a little bit bad, so he was actually forced to leave. And a new missionary came into town. And so Jackson, the older missionary, he began to explain this process of getting this car started, because he was passing the car on to the new missionary so that he would have some transportation. And so he began explaining it. And the new missionary began looking under the hood And before the older missionary could actually even explain it, this is what he says. He says, "Why, Dr. Jackson, I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. So for 2 years, guys, he went through this needless trouble of pushing his car only because of a loose connection. That's what kept him from putting that power to work. And so how it is with us that we have this tremendous power available to us who believe in God, and we make our connection firm with God, with his life and his power flowing through us. So this leads us to our final characteristic that Paul gives us, and that's living with the right perspective. So we've looked at perseverance, saying we're not giving up, we're not losing heart, we're not throwing in the towel, no matter what's came against us. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that we're able to do this. And that perspective is the third P. So we read verse 18 in chapter 4, it says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So what is he saying? He's saying, I'm not focused on all this stuff that's going on in my life. You know, we might see our problems, but we don't see the power of God within us. He had the right perspective, guys. And so there's a story in 2 Kings. It kind of helps us see this perspective, this eternal perspective. 2 Kings chapter 6, 14 through 17 says, "Therefore he," speaking of the king of Syria, "sent horses and chariots, a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And so he answered, said, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." You know, sometimes we see all that's against us. We don't see the things that are unseen. Because there's a spiritual battle going on, guys, but we have the Holy Spirit within us. The power of the Holy Spirit. So you might be saying, "You know what, Eric? This sounds all great and everything, but I don't feel qualified. I don't feel qualified to tell anybody about Jesus." Well, it's not you guys. We're not qualified. But God is. And he isn't God who lives in you? The power that gives us that power to do that, to accomplish his mission and his purpose. Because that's his mission. And his purpose is to tell everybody. He wants to be in heaven with everybody. And so you're right when you say, "I'm not qualified." But remember that God is. So just imagine right now what your posture would be if you didn't have a penny to your name, or your parents didn't have a penny to your name, to their name. But then imagine right now you had a check for $2 million in your back pocket right now. What would your posture be? You'd be jumping for joy. You'd be like, "Yes, I'm going to go do all this. I'm going to go do that." You'd be happy. You know? That's what your posture would be. And so you have the living God that lives within you. And if you don't, because it's his spirit living in us that seals us for that day, that gives us eternal life. And we do that by faith. And maybe you're here tonight and you're just not sure, or today, you're not sure that you have the spirit. You know, we ask by faith. Nothing you can do or say or anything like that. Simply by believing. In faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so if you're here today and you're not sure, talk to somebody. Talk to one of these leaders. Talk to me. Remember, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You can say anything you want, but it's the power of God unto salvation. Only God has that power, guys. So when you see somebody ready to die, maybe on the deathbed, then God's power really becomes evident. Then who's ashamed of the gospel? Of somebody, who's ashamed then? Because only God can save your soul. So what are you going to do? Now that you know that power that lives within you, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to live your lives? With the characteristics that Paul has given us, to live our lives with perseverance. He's saying, I'm not giving up. I'm running this race, and I'm running with joy, and I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish it well. I'm not just going to finish it. And that power, that's how we're going to do it, with the power that lives within us, because we're not qualified, but God is. And he loves you. And we live our lives in perspective of eternal life, knowing that one day we're going to die, but it doesn't end there. We have eternal life. So how are you going to live your life knowing these things? What are you going to do? So it's game day, guys. So where's my team at? Let's try this again. Okay, come on, guys. All right. Okay, guys. Okay, you guys, we're going to do this, all right? You guys ready? All right, guys. Red, 42, blue, on two. Okay, guys? You guys been ready to do it?
Yeah.
Let's break. Red, 42, hut. Oh, come on, guys. We just talked about this. You guys, this is game day, guys. We can't just hit the sidelines. We're running some plays. Come on, let's try it one more time. One more time, guys. All right? Okay, guys. Red, we're going to try this one more time, all right? Okay. Red, 42, blue, 32, on two, okay? You guys are going to do it this time, right? We're going to do it? We're going to do it?
Yeah.
Guys, break. Okay. Red, 42, huh, huh. So, to bring it all into perspective, guys, you know, we've seen at the beginning that we had went into this huddle. We had our game plan. We knew what we were going to do. And when it came time to run the play, they went to the sidelines. And that's like with us a lot of times. We come to church and we know the plays. We know how we're going to live our life. We're maybe even excited to go out there and live a life for God. But then we just go and we hit the sidelines. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. So now, how are you going to live your life? Are you just going to go out there and you're just going to go on the sidelines? You know, we come to church and we hear these great things and we get inspired and we want to live for God. And we just go right back to the sidelines. Just remember, this is the power of God, not of us. So let's close. Lord Jesus, thank you for everybody that came today, Lord. I just ask that you would go before the day, before the week, Lord, and that you would just bless them, Lord. That you would just show them favor at school, with their parents, with their friends. And that you would have them not to forget that living a Christian life, Lord, it's game day. We can't just run and hear the plays, Lord, that we need to play them. We can't just go to the sidelines. And it's by the power of your Spirit that we're able to do that. So just ask you to bless them. And may they go out with boldness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.